This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the ministry of the Christian Crusaders on this blessed Christmas day. Conducting our service today is the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order copies of today's service will be given at the close of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
Jesus Christ was born. The question is, where? We'll talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, once again, we return our thanks that you came into this world, the God incarnate, to be the Savior of all of those who would trust in you. We thank you that you are not only the incarnate one, but that you are the crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, and that today you offer us new hope, new joy, new peace, in simply trusting you and realizing that your grace at all times is sufficient. May that be the burning message that rings in our hearts and brings joy to our soul, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Hear God's word as it is recorded in the second chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning with verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The Gospel for the day.
Sweet head.
friends in Christ. Let me ask you a very simple question. Where was Jesus born? It is an academic question, and to answer this, you draw from knowledge stored away in your brain. It might be knowledge that you got from the church where you attended, the Sunday school where you were instructed, or the home in which you were raised. Maybe it was from singing that grand old Christmas carol of Phillips Brooks, O Little Town of Bethlehem. It matters not. But the answer for millions of people in the Western Christian world was Jesus was born in Bethlehem. How many people know that today? We might be surprised if we would stop somebody on the street and ask them, where was Jesus born? I think we would find that there are many people who lack even that head knowledge in our day. He was born in Bethlehem of Judea. That's known to many, at least. It was a little town about 5 miles south of Jerusalem. It had become very prominent and sometimes was called the City of David. David was Israel's glorious king, famous, probably the greatest they had ever had. He is supposed to have been born and grown up in that area of Bethlehem. It is a very prominent place for those who travel to go. I recall the day that my wife and I spent in Bethlehem. It was a glorious time. And as a part of our stay there, we had visited the Church of the Nativity. There, our guide told us it was at that particular place that Jesus Christ was born. I sometimes wondered if they knew that specifically, but we were in the general vicinity, and it was certainly a grand opportunity to be there. Those of you with a little more biblical knowledge than the average person realize it is a place where God chose that it be the site of the incarnation. Now, what do we mean by that great big word, incarnation? Don't let me insult your intelligence, but let's go over it again. The meaning of that word is that is where God took on the form of a human being and became a man. Let me say it again. It was in Bethlehem of Judea that God chose to take on the form of a human being and become a man and walk among us. He lived on this earth for 33 years. Here then he walked with his people. He loved them, and finally he died as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. So you see, friend, when you're there, you are reminded of the word of God to Moses. Remember that passage found in the 3rd chapter of Exodus, verse 5? Moses was watching a bush. It was burning, but it was not consumed. And so he walked over to investigate what was going on, and God said to him, Moses, Moses, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And certainly one who is a Christian is overwhelmed when he stands in Bethlehem. We were. It was truly holy ground. So that is also true with us as we walk along the paths of the Holy Land, realizing that it all began from a human point of view, right there in Bethlehem's manger. So the answer to the first question then is, where was Jesus born? He was born in Bethlehem of Judea. Now then we come to a second question. Has he been born in your heart? Or, according to our theme, Jesus was born where? And my question again is, has he been born within your heart? The reason I ask this question is very simple. You know, friend, it is entirely possible that he can be born in your head. and not in your heart. You can have found that information, as we have already said, in so many places, in your home, in your church, in a hymn like the one we have heard sung to us, O little town of Bethlehem. And so we know about him. We know him as our Savior and Lord, intellectually. But that is not quite enough. That is not all that God wants. God wants us to know him in an experiential way. God wants us to have a relationship with him. God wants us to know that Jesus Christ has been born in our hearts. You know, there are many theologians in our day and in the days that have gone by, as you have read church history, who knew a great deal about Jesus from an intellectual point of view. They have written books about him. Some of them we like and some of them we don't like. They have lectured in some of the most prestigious universities in the world, but they still do not know him. More than one theologian at the end of their lives have said, "First now I meet him. I knew him in the intellectual way, but now I know him in the experiential way." Knowledge about Jesus does not make you a Christian. A Christian will continue to live in his Bible once he has become a Christian. But the knowledge in and of itself does not make you a Christian until we have learned to say, "Lord Jesus, you are mine. I know you as my Savior. I know you as the one who grew up and died on a cross and paid the price for my sins. And through faith in you, I am forgiven and I am yours forever." Now, the babe of Bethlehem's manger grew up, and he was about 30 years of age when he one day was met by a man whose name was Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a very religious person, a rabbi, a person with a lot of intellectual knowledge of God's will and God's way and the sending of a Messiah to be the Savior of the people. And so one night about midnight, he came to Jesus and he said, "Lord, we realize that you're something special, for no one can teach like you." And after he got done with all of his praise, Jesus turned to him and said, "Nicodemus, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again." "Born again," Nicodemus said. "What in the world can that mean? You can't enter a second time into your mother's womb and be born." And then Jesus went on and tried to explain to him that he must be born of the Spirit. It took Nicodemus some time. When he walked away from the presence of Jesus on that particular time, he did not know him as the Savior and the Lord. But we do know that by the time Jesus was crucified, 3 years later, Nicodemus had come to faith. At least we can interpret that as being so, for he was the one who went up with Joseph of Arimathea and asked the Roman authorities if they could bury the body. And it was then that Nicodemus identified himself with Jesus. Now, I personally believe that that night when Nicodemus was sitting there with Jesus, that he was born again. I believe that on that particular time, Jesus came to be born in his heart. There he lived. And it took a long time for that to unravel, until as he looked at him in one situation after another, and finally at the cross, he could say from the bottom of his heart, "Truly this is the Messiah of the world. Truly he is the Savior." And it all started way back there when God came to this world in the person of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem's manger. That's what born again means. That's what it means, that Jesus is born in your heart and in mine, and we come to know him. We are born again when Jesus lives in us, when we, by the grace of God, have been received by him, and we have received him also. How does this all happen? It's a very difficult thing to try to teach. One day, President Bush, the present President Bush, was asked by someone on television to explain his rebirth and his being born again. And the president simply said, "I have told you what had happened as I meditated on his word and walked the coast and thought about what Jesus was and what the Bible says he is and how I was helped by that evangelist, Billy Graham. But when I've said all of this to you, I can only say you have to experience it, that Jesus Christ takes up residence in your life. There is a new birth. He has been born not only in Bethlehem. That is the objective birth. That is a historical birth. That is a geographical birth. That is a very important birth. But he is born in our hearts. Now, where did this all happen? And here we will have varying experiences. As I have told you so often, and I hesitate to do it again to be so repetitious, but it is only to illustrate, realizing that what I went through, millions of others have gone through. I was born into a Christian home of the Lutheran persuasion. We had been taught from Holy Scripture that Jesus Christ enters into a covenant relationship with you at the baptismal font when you're a babe. That's when Jesus was born in my heart. I was unconscious as to what had happened. But as I was also unconscious about other things that happened that day, I did not know my parents yet. I was only a few hours old, few days old. So how could I know him? But Jesus Christ had taken up residence there. He had made a covenant. I will be your God and you will be my child. So in that unconscious state, I began to grow. Somewhere along the way, I began to hear the name of Jesus again and again. It could well have been in the learning of that Christmas carol, "Away in a manger, no crib for his bed." Oh, I remember how my parents would read me those Christmas stories, and how angry I would get when I learned that they would not let him into the inn, that he had to go out in a manger and be born. How could they be so ruthless? I didn't like that at all. And then I grew up a little bit more, and in my Christian home and in the church and in a good confirmation class and with Christian friends, I learned more and more about that Jesus who was in my heart. But I really didn't know him. I really had not yet taken, by the grace of God, that step to say, "Jesus, you're mine." But then came that glorious day when in his word, not from out of the blue, not in a really emotional way, he said very quietly, but very powerfully, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." And in that last statement on that particular day, it rang like this from his word into my heart. "For apart from me, Homer Larson, you can do nothing." My eyes were awakened, and I knew him as my Savior, my Lord. He had been born there 16 or 17 years before. But through all of that teaching from his holy word, the Holy Spirit had worked, and I had come to a living, dynamic faith in Jesus Christ. And now the years have gone by, 81 of them, and he is still talking to me in the scriptures. He is still talking to me in individual circumstances. This is the babe who wants to be born in our hearts. Others have had a different experience. They have had a conversion experience later in life. My Baptist Christian friends can tell you quite a different one. But the whole thing is that we are united in this truth, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world, and we need to trust Him. We need to trust Him that we may be His for all eternity. It could be that this Christmas, some of you may be saying, oh, there's something wrong in my life. Maybe it's something like this. You've been divorced, and the children have to spend Christmas Eve with Mom and Christmas Day with Dad. And as they're leaving to go to Dad's, one of the little children say, I wish it could be like it used to be when we were all together. Maybe that's the experience where suddenly you realize I've got to do something about it. Got to talk. Got to find out where God really wants me. And so the prayer is, and that's our closing prayer for today. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our cares and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. That was Philip Brooks's prayer in this famous carol in 1868. And it is my prayer for you on this Christmas Day, 2005. Amen.
Thank you.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that you and your loved ones have a blessed Christmas and a healthy New Year. As we spend special time with family and friends, let us give thanks for the greatest gift of all, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported entirely by the gifts and prayers of our listening family. As the year comes to a close, we remind you that your gifts to this ministry are tax deductible. We thank you for your prayers as well as your financial support during this holiday season. Your gifts enable Christian Crusaders to continue these gospel messages into the new year. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Today's service is available to be read or heard on the internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 70th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.